I thought this morning of speaking to you about the Christian life, or about serving the Lord, or about serving your neighbors, or about working in the church, or what. And I thought, no, we need something more fundamental than that. We need something deeper, something more foundational. And what I would like to talk about is this: God has plans for you. God has plans for you. When I was a young Christian, I became attracted to Paul's letter to the Philippians. And it became very special to me, and I saw lessons in every paragraph. It was just an amazing little book. And it has remained that way in my mind since then. And so I would like to take that lesson from the earliest paragraph in Paul's letter to the Philippians, and I would like to begin reading at verse 3, just for connection, and then focus on our theme this morning. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. That verse comes to my mind frequently in connection with this company, that it is such a joy to be in fellowship with such a group of believers. And then Paul goes on to this, and I am sure of this. This is his confidence in the Philippians. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So that's our text. Let's take that as our text. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. You want to read that with me? And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. All right? Now here's the point I want to make this morning. More fundamental than our work for God is God's work in us. More fundamental than our work for God, than anything we do for God, more fundamental than that is God's work in us. That's what I'd like to focus on this morning. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to take that little verse and take from it 6 points, 6 lessons that we can learn about the work of God in us. And the first one, of course, is obvious. It is a work of God. I am sure that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. He who began a good work. If I am to work for God, we call it serving God. If I am to serve God, he must work in me. He is the creator and he is the recreator. He is the one who recreates us and begins to fashion us into the image of his son. I came across an ad for a glass sculpture restoration service, and part of it reads like this: Bachrush Studio always recommends that the collector contact the original artist, if possible, prior to the restoration of a sculpture. Right? Isn't that good? If we're going to be fixed, if we're going to be recreated, we need to contact the original sculptor. Ephesians 2, chapter 10 says, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Now, what I'm going to show you is something that I have showed you before when at least some of you were here. God has 3 characteristics that I find absolutely fundamental to my life, and I want to share them with you. First of all, God is all-loving. And he wants the very best for us. That's what that means. That's what it means. That God is all loving means that he wants the very best for us. Got that? Is that clear? That's one. You can balance a camera on a unipod and it'll give you some steadiness, right? You can put it on a bipod and it'll give you more steadiness. You put it on a tripod and you're set, right? So we need these three characteristics of God. Second, God is all-knowing, and he knows what's best for us. God is all-loving, and he wants what's best for us, and God is all-knowing, and he knows what's best for us. And thirdly, God is all-powerful, and he can do what's best for us. God is all-powerful, and he can do what's best for us. If we depend on these three things, if we don't know anything else about God, and we know a great deal more about him, if we don't know anything else about him, we can depend on these three things. He is all-loving, he is all-knowing, and he is all-powerful. St. Augustine was once accosted by a heathen man who showed him proudly his god, his little idol. And he said, where's your idol? Where's your god? He said, I can't show you my god. Not because I don't have a god to show you, but because you don't have eyes to see him. We don't carry our God around. He carries us around. Is God working in your life? What's God doing in your life today? What's he doing this week? What's he doing this year? What's God doing in your life? The second thing we learn about this work of God is that it's a work with a beginning. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. It's a work with a beginning. You cannot put soil in a pot and water it and expect a flower to grow, right? You can't water soil and expect a flower to grow. You've got to put a seed in there. There has to be a seed in the soil. There has to be something from which it grows. Patching up the old me won't do it. There needs to be something new. There needs to be, John calls it, the new birth. We are born again. Born again. Born of the Spirit. We need a new birth. Now, many of you will be familiar with this, but I want to go back to it because it's so amazing. John Wesley, one evening in 1738, was meeting with a group to study the scriptures, and someone was reading from Luther's preface to the Romans. Imagine that. And he says, and this is such a nice touch, about 8:45 p.m., while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. That was the beginning of the work of God in his life. St. Augustine, if I may go back to him again, St. Augustine, remember, was sitting in a garden. He had been living a horrendous life. I mean, he was living in all kinds of sexual immorality. And he was sitting one day in a garden and he was weeping. And as he was sitting weeping, he heard a voice of a boy in the garden next door say, take it and read, take it and read. And he picked up a Bible that was by him and he read from Romans chapter 13. And here's what he read. And this amazes me. I'm almost amazed by what scriptures people come to when they come to trust Christ. Here's what he read. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what Augustine read, and he said that's what turned him to Christ. His heart turned to Christ, and he became a believer. The problem is with us that we were originally designed by God, but sin came into the world. And sin kills our spirits and darkens our understanding and defiles our hearts and paralyzes our will and dulls our conscience and distorts our imagination and alienates us from God and leaves us dead and guarantees us eternal punishment. And theologians have come up with one phrase to summarize all that: total depravity. We are depraved in every part of our nature. We are depraved in every part of our being. And so we can't have reformation, we must have regeneration. We must have a new birth through Jesus Christ. You must be born again. When you look back on your life, was there a time, and I know that for some it's a little, the time is a little indefinite, and that's not the important point. It's not the important point that you remember the exact time. But can you remember when you first knew that you had trusted Christ and God had saved you? That's the beginning. That's the beginning. Have you seen in your life signs since then of the regenerating, of the rebirth work of Christ in your life? That's also part of it. You can't have an empty pot of soil. You need to put seeds in there. There needs to be a beginning. And so it's a work of God, and it's a work with a beginning. And thirdly, it's a good work. I am sure that he who began a good work in you, a good work. You know what? That's the only kind of work God does, right? That's the only kind of work God does, good work. He divided the seas, and he saw that it was good, and he called for vegetation to grow, and he saw that it was good. He placed the sun and the moon in the heavens, and he saw that it was good, and he brought the sea monsters and the fish, and God saw that they were good, and put the animals on the land, and he saw that they were good. And when it was all finished, you know what he said? It's very good. That's what God does. Very good work. Very good work. And then there has to be a new work because of the intrusion of sin into our lives. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. He is a new creature. The old has gone and the new is here. God is building us and he has plans for the building. He's not working. He's not just, oh, I see this bunch of stuff here and I'll build something. No, he has planned. It's something that he has planned. It's something that he's deliberately doing in our lives. When an artisan finishes a piece of work, he will put his name on it, right? You know what God did with us? Put his name on it at the beginning of the work. He was just beginning the work, and he put his name on us. That's how confident he is on how we're going to turn out. Missionary Alan Gardner spent many years in missionary work and experienced many difficulties. And despite his troubles, he said, "While God gives me the strength, failure will not daunt me." At the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving on Pitcairn Island on the southern tip of South America. And when his body was found, his diary lay nearby, and it bore a record of hunger and thirst and wounds and loneliness. And the last entry in his little book, and it showed the struggle of his hands shaking as he tried to write. The last entry said, "I am overwhelmed with the sense of the goodness of God." The goodness of God. That's where he ended. Huh? I remember sitting down one day in the CIU cafeteria with a, I walked into the cafeteria and there was a guy sitting at the table over there. He's a guy about, I guessed about 35 years old. And he's sitting alone, and I said, I'll go and sit with this guy. And as I approached him, I noticed there was beside him a white cane. And so I sat down and introduced myself, and he introduced himself, and we chatted for a few minutes. And then I said, how did you become blind? He said, a number of years ago, he said, I was having a really hard time, and I was in a fit of depression, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And I tried to shoot myself, and I missed. And I shut up my eyes. And then, a couple of years later, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm here studying counseling so that I can help others who are suffering in the same way. See? There's a beginning that transforms us, that changes us. That changes us. Then, it's not only a work of God with a beginning and a good work, but it's an inner work. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's a work in you. Okay? Psalm 44 says, he knows the secrets of the heart. In Jeremiah 17, the Lord searches the heart and examines the mind. He can see into us. We need to have an inner work. Psalm 139, you have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. John Wooden said, be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is what others think you are. It's got to be an inner work. It's got to be an inner work on our character. You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. Remember how the psalmist ends that psalm? With an invitation. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I recently had my 5-year CT scan. And this was to be the big milestone. I was a doctor said, the oncologist said, I want to see you for 5 years. And so I'll see you every 6 months, but you have a CT scan every year. And I had my 5-year CT scan. Everything clear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right? God does not need a CT scan. He can see without any equipment. He doesn't need all that stuff. You don't have to put your hands above your head and slide in. God can see inside everything, everything. It's an inner work. Then it's a continuing work. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. It's a continuing work. We have various concepts in our minds. We have kind of models of the Christian life in our minds. And there's an old model of the Christian life, which was kind of a mountain climbing model. And in that model, what people talked about a lot was backsliding. They would say, well, he's backsliding. So we need to work on him, or God needs to work on him, but he's backsliding. He's sliding back down the mountain. That's kind of a, I don't know that that's a very popular model anymore. I'm not saying that there is no such thing as backsliding. I'm just saying I'm not sure that's a very common way of thinking about the Christian life anymore. It seems to me now that the more common view of thinking about the Christian life is a growth model, where we're growing from stage to stage. And sometimes we show spurts of growth, and sometimes it looks like we're going backwards. But there's a growth model, and it has to be a continuing work. A continuing work. Remember when you were a child? When you were a child, did somebody put marks on a doorpost? and measured you and marked the date, see how tall you were at a certain age? Let me ask you a question. Do you have any new marks this year? Spiritually, have any new marks? Any progress? Peter closes the second epistle, "Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Or back in 1 Peter, he says, "Like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." How are we feeding our spirits? How are we day by day feeding our spirits? Are you feeding your spirit day by day? Can I put in a public service announcement? Wait. You're used to that on television, right? We put in public service announcement. Kingdom Driven Daily. Kingdom Driven Daily is a wonderful website. And they offer daily email devotionals. Every 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, you get an email devotional in your inbox. And they're longer than daily bread, and they're a bit more challenging, I think, in most cases. A friend of ours writes most of them, and I fill in a few during the week. It's been such a challenge to me to be working on this, and I just encourage you, if there's not something you're following regularly, I invite you to do that. That's just a little public service announcement. Number six, the sixth thing we learn is not only is it a work of God with a beginning and a good work and an inner work and a continuing work, but it's a purposeful work. He will carry it on to completion. Wait till you see the result. Wait till you see the result. I think we'll be amazed. I think we will be amazed with what God wants to do with us. God has a picture of you on his refrigerator. And it's a picture of you, how he's going to make you. Not how you are now, but it's a picture of how he's going to make you. Right? That's how God sees us. He says, here's what I'm doing in this guy. Here's what I'm doing in this gal. I'm working on them, and here's what they're going to look like when I'm finished with them. See? God has a purpose, and it's a purposeful work. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world in order that, for the purpose of us being holy. He is preparing a bride for his son, and we're part of it. He's preparing the city for eternity, and we're part of it. He's preparing the people to live with him forever, and we're part of it. So there it is. There's the work of God. There's what God is doing in our lives. Let me wrap this up. God has plans for you. He has plans for me. He has plans for all of us. If you have come to that point where you have at first accepted the saving work of Jesus Christ, you're part of God's plans. Now, God can work in any way he wants. He can work through the Word of God. But we need to listen to it. He can work through answered prayer, and he can work through unanswered prayer, right? He can work through circumstances. We go through the same circumstances as everyone else who is not a believer, but we have a way of thinking about them that God has given us in his word. He can work through in us in through difficulties, through suffering. He can work in us through people, sometimes most through difficult people. Now, let me give you three principles to wrap this up. Number one, we are not to wait until God is finished working in us before we work for Him. I think a lot of times our work for Him can be part of His working in us. It can be part of what He's using to develop us as He works in us. And then secondly, we may fight God, but He'll win. Right? Remember Jacob? We may fight God in His working in us. And he may be trying to do difficult things in us. God is not, I don't think of God so much as a painter, but as a sculptor. He's not going to put a coat of paint on us. He's going to take His hammer and chisel to us. And sometimes that hurts. And sometimes we fight against that. But He's going to win. I don't think I've ever said this phrase with more truth or meaning. He has the upper hand, right? Thirdly, we need to give God the materials to work with. What are we putting in here? What are we putting in? What are we taking in? How are we feeding? What's our spiritual diet? Sometimes I can go away from here on Sunday mornings and on Monday I say, okay, now what was that about? I can't remember. And sometimes if I carefully note, now I don't take, a lot of people take notes of this, the preacher's outline, and I think that's great, because then you can go back and review it, right? I don't do that. When I take notes, I take note of, Lord, what am I supposed to do in response to this? Three things I can do. I can think differently about God or people. I can feel differently about God or people. And I can do differently about God or people, right? Those are three things that I can take away from any, if it's there, that I can take away from any speech or any message. What am I supposed to know? What am I supposed to feel? And what am I supposed to do in response to that message? So that's my final question to you this morning. How's the work coming along? How's the work of God coming along in our lives? Are we showing some progress from the work of God in our lives? I hope so. I hope the Lord will in these days continue and increase His work in our lives. May He do that for His sake.